Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey.
Hey.
What'd you think?
About what?
Did you get my text?
Oh.
Everybody, I'm Patton Oswalt.
And I'm Meredith Salinger.
And welcome to yet another episode of Did You Get My Text? A married couple lives in the same house, texts each other all day for some reason.
Sound familiar to the rest of you? I think it does.
And this is our chance to catch up, go over our texts, explain ourselves to each other.
Yeah, because...
What was this?
Yeah, what was this?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening, guys. This is fun.
Yeah. As we are recording this, it is August 4th. Oh, I'm not a fan of August.
Why are you not a fan of August?
Because
I feel like that was a setup for a joke. Like, I'm not a fan. Anyway.
August to me feels like when you get either too high or too drunk or you've been in a concert too long. Like, when summer starts, you're like, June, yay. July, okay, this is okay. Okay. Oh, wow. Now it's just hot. Like it's like.
And it's also like next month is September and everyone has to go back to school and to work.
Yeah. There's just something about August.
Do you feel like because we have a child and she has a summer break and she has to go back to school in September that it's like summer is a vacation for us as well? I feel like I'm on vacation too, even though I'm not and there's still work to be done.
And also I feel like maybe she projects some of her gloom and trepidation on us about, oh, school's going to start.
I don't think she has projected any gloom yet.
August to me, it feels like, the best way to describe it is it feels like the drive back from Vegas. Like when you're going to Vegas, you're like, yeah. And then when you leave on Sunday or Monday morning, you're like, I just want to get home now.
But if you're two girls in a car leaving Vegas, you're like, ooh, the outlets.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Then that was a terrible analogy to use for you. Anyway, so yes, welcome to August, our listeners. I hope you're having a good one. I hope you're keeping cool. God, there's so much to talk about. Should you start or should I? What do you want to do?
I feel like if I start, I'm going to... Listen, I want to start, but I want to say something that definitely is going to bring the room down.
Damn.
And I don't want to start sadly.
Really?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to present this in a more happy way.
Okay.
And I'm just going to keep it light. Okay?
So you're starting off...
With
the caveat that this could bring the room down if it's not... Executed properly. Let's watch Meredith walk the tightrope. Go, Meredith.
So I sent you a text message the other day. It was a screenshot that a friend sent me. And don't say anything yet.
Okay.
Don't say anything yet. So this is the text.
Placing bets, I want to put $50 down that Meredith doesn't manage to do this one.
I think I'm going to do all right.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so I got a text message from a friend and she went, oh my God, blank's friend just died of COVID. He was 50, totally healthy, fully vaxxed, got sick, thought it was a cold since he was vaccinated, waited it out at home for a week, and then went to the hospital on Saturday and died like 3 hours later. Now that's a terrible thing to get, and I'm talking about it with like a happy voice. If I weren't trying to be like entertaining to all of you listeners, I would have said it nicer. But,
Okay.
I mean, not nicer, sadder.
Yeah.
In any event, the reason I bring it up is because the Delta variant is running rampant and I have suddenly decided for the first time in 2 years that I'm going to go on a vacation. What is wrong with me?
Yeah. You literally were like, hey, you've decided to go swimming on Amity Island right after the Kintner boy was eaten on the raft.
Well, listen,
like,
I
got to get in that water.
Yeah. I'm not going to Chicago where Lollapalooza just happened and 2 million people are about to get on airplanes.
Oh, boy.
But I am going somewhere and it's a very short trip and I'm going to wear an N95 mask and a shield and I'm not going to touch anything and I'm not going to eat anything and I'm not going to talk to anyone. I'm not going to look at anyone. I'm going to be as careful as I possibly can. Listen, I know I'm putting myself in grave danger.
And your family.
Right. And my family.
Mm-hmm. You could bring death back to this house.
I could be being doing
but
that.
But it'll be worth it to hang
for
out
the first
with
time
your friends that you hang out with all the time.
Listen, I was going to say I have to go somewhere for work, so it didn't sound so terrible.
But you're being honest.
But I'm being honest. Yeah. And the reason why I'm being honest and talking about it is because, listen, I tell everyone, if you don't have to travel, don't travel. If you don't have to go anywhere, don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I've literally not gone anywhere. And not that it's like, oh, you haven't gone anywhere. Well, great. Look at you. You can go somewhere now. But I really think I'm going to be so careful, and I hope, and I'm vaccinated, and I hope everybody's getting vaccinated, and I'm going to wear a mask, and I'm going to be careful, and I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to do everything you're supposed to do, and I'll report back to you guys if I've gotten COVID or not.
What airline are you flying?
That's no one's business.
Well, but you're not flying like Frontier or Spirit or JetBlue right now, right?
Well, dude, don't.
Because those airlines are feral right now. The passengers are just on there punching people and getting duct taped to chairs and calling the flight attendants a bitch. Okay. It's really bad.
My biggest fear is not, I think I can protect myself well enough. I'm going to be so diligent. Mm-hmm. But my fear is some rando on the flight who's going to cause havoc and mm-hmm. make it uncomfortable for everybody else.
I don't know if you saw a comedian Sarah Schaefer posted a video today about she took a plane flight, I guess, a couple days ago, and the guy sitting next to her, everyone in the plane was masked, but then he asked for a bag of pretzels. And
yes, I saw that.
Made a big deal to keep his mask down the whole time and eat.
Because
each
you're allowed
pretzel
to take off your mask if you're eating, and so he nibbled at each pretzel
for the entire flight with his mask
right.
off. Like
so
it's this
he was
weird,
just,
defiant, like he was just, and I'm sorry, the kind of people that do that are the kind of people that don't get vaxxed.
Right.
I forgot who tweeted this today, but the people that you see out there wearing masks are the people that are vaccinated. They're responsible, and but the people that aren't wearing masks are the ones that are just flat out not
okay.
vaccinated.
I wasn't trying to have a whole conversation about COVID and people and all that.
But you did bring up COVID.
Well, I just wanted to just read that text as if, hey, my friend died. Like, everybody's dying. Let's just try to make light of it these days. Is that a terrible attitude?
That is so, but you're at it, that is such a nihilistic, like, everyone's dying, so I'm getting on a plane and going to see some friends because, you know what, today is a good day to die of Valhalla. I never thought that Americans would become such Vikings just overnight. Well, you got to die sometime. You know, it's crazy how people will just out of, I don't even
listen,
know what it is.
I'm being funny. I'm trying to be silly. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to bring the room down. I knew that it would.
Trying to keep it upbeat too.
Perhaps I shouldn't have brought it up. Perhaps if you have a comedic podcast with a funny person like yourself.
Don't start with that.
Perhaps I shouldn't have said, hey guys, I'm going to keep this real light. Somebody died.
All right. Well, let's segue into my thing.
Okay. What's your thing?
I texted you a link to an Onion article. The reason I said this is because it related directly to a task that I took on this past Monday, the Onion article. Man 20 minutes into organizing shelves becomes grimly aware of what chaos he has wrought. On Monday, we both decided, and our daughter decided too, she's now 12, and there's a lot of stuff on her shelves and in her closet that she has just outgrown and also just not used in years. It's just stuff
yeah.
that is sitting there.
She needed a clean out of her closet and her bookshelves.
Well, she needed a purge. So
yeah,
I
same thing.
Ended up doing a massive purge of things. And what was weird was
it was great because it got organized. It was too cluttered.
But I would keep calling her in and I would say, hey, like these books or these are what I, and everything I would show her, like, I'm going to get rid of this. She was like, it's fine. I don't look at it. And I was the one who was reluctant because it's the symbol of, oh, she's not a little kid anymore. And I'm throwing away all this stuff
I know.
That is linked to her
but
being this little kid.
That being said, she does keep all of her little color me minds that she made, like the hideous dolphin painted in brown and oof. Like yellow splotches all
yeah.
over it.
The one and things that I would love to throw out.
The things that I'm like, are you sure you really want
that
this still?
That she takes 3 seconds to paint. And then she's like, I'm done.
Yeah, you take Alice to Color Me Mine or any crafting kind of a place, and she'll finish it in 2 seconds. And you're like, it's not a race.
Yeah.
We're here for an hour. Enjoy your creativity.
Chill.
Take
just
your
paint
time, girl.
It's okay. But yeah, so there was a lot of like, so you want to still keep these though, right? And there was a lot of like school stuff that I know that some people keep their school. I didn't keep any of my school stuff, but there are certain things of hers that I guess maybe I want to keep because they're so adorable. Like you see the development of how she wrote and how she spelled and that, like even with all the misspellings and all the,
oh, you want to keep those things,
but you see that's her adorable personality emerging and it's really adorable.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't need this. Speaking of
her personality, she was at camp and she wrote us, you guys,
oh boy,
this is so funny. This is that shows you that Alice is definitely has Patton's personality. She wrote us a letter from camp and it was one of those fill in the answers to the question thing.
Yeah.
And one of the questions was, what do you enjoy most about recess or time off or breaks or whatever it was? And she wrote, what'd she write, honey?
She wrote, not writing letters, but here we are. Like she did not want to be sitting.
Clearly not writing letters.
Oh, clearly not writing letters.
But here we are.
You could literally hear like the cigarette smoke being exhaled. Like not writing letters, but here we are.
She was very funny.
Yeah. And laughed out loud when we read that.
Yeah.
Like there we, and I went, that's my girl.
What's your favorite part of recess?
That's
well, clearly
my
not writing
girl.
Letters, but here we are. Like she had to be, we forced her to do it.
But there was a real, Seasons in the Sun moment. A couple of those when I was cleaning out the shelves in the closet of like, oh, you're not going to ever use this, paint giant seashells as bowls kit. And like, you never even open this. It's never, so let's just donate this. Like there, but there was a time when she wanted to open all that stuff. And now she's like, I'm just going to read a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, part of the reason that I brought up the vacation thing, it's my friend's birthday and clearly I need to get her a gift. And she did show me the other day, this really cool pair of Air Jordans that are like rainbow colored, ridiculous, millions of different colors. She's a trippy chick and she's a fabulous dresser and she wears beautiful dresses, but she wears them with like quirky shoes.
Right.
And I said to her,
I know that look. A lot of girls have that look.
Yeah.
That's leftover from the 90s. The really cool dress and then the, I got boots on because I'm crazy. You don't know what I'm going
to
do.
Right. But do you think that, here's what I wanted to bring up. Do you think it's inappropriate that I said to her, well, this is what I said to her and then you can tell me if it's okay or not. I was like, I do not have a birthday present for you. Those are very cool. Let me buy them for you. and then she was like, well, normally these are like so expensive on this other website, but this website, they're $100 on. And then we were having this whole long discussion of, do we think this website is actually real?
Oh,
and I,
you've been burned by getting stuff off Instagram before, which I told you not to do. All those companies are really sketchy.
Anyway, I said to her, she's like, I'm part of this. I signed up online for this thing and it's already got my information. And I was like, well, why don't you buy them and I'll Venmo you.
Wow.
And she's like, that is not a birthday present. You cannot do that. So I,
are you going to go to the sketchy website?
I did. And I bought them.
You're going to get a box of rotten fruit. Just like you did in the other thing. I mean, look, once you get to a certain age, it's like, I have the stuff that I like and you don't need to really surprise me anymore. Unless it's in my case, unless it's like an author that I've never read that you're like, you really, or music I've never
heard.
There is
no author that you've never read that I would
possibly. Oh, that's not true. There's so many that I've never
read. Well, could you give me a list so I can buy you presents?
No, that's the thing. I mean, I have friends who give me books of people I've literally never heard of. That's the fun of it. It's like, and they're like, I know you like writer A, B, and C. Well, this person was a huge influence. And so that kind of.
Well, your smart friends will know those things. Anyway, she knows what she's getting for her birthday. Do you think that's a bad thing? I think it's great. I think it's like, this is what I really want.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing else I want.
Wait a minute. Did the shoes arrive?
No, I literally just bought them yesterday.
Well, you're leaving tomorrow. How are you going to give them to
her? I'll just give her a picture of the shoes. I'll draw a picture of the shoes and I'll say, hey, here, your present's coming. It'll
They're
be at my
coming.
House.
But you had them delivered to you and not to her?
Yeah, because.
So she's got to come over to get them.
No, I can wrap them and bring them to her house.
Oh, okay. That's a lot of work for something that you know what the result's going to be.
She's going to love them.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know she will because she wants them.
Right. But it's just not a surprise. Right?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. All right.
Anyway, we will be right back. Hey, guys. Welcome back. That sounded so professional.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
Yeah. Patton.
Yes.
I have not exercised in 2 years. I have not exercised since the day coronavirus hit. And I think part of the reason is it's like, I don't like to exercise. Mm-hmm. And also, it's the perfect excuse. You're not allowed to leave your house, stay indoors. Right. I'm like, oh, I better stay indoors and not do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, such a good girl, staying indoors and not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Anyway, today was the first day in like 2 years that I exercised.
Mm-hmm. And?
It was so hard. It was so hard. And you exercised with me and you were very supportive of all the breaks I had to take.
Yeah. Well, look, I had to take breaks too. What sucks is you see when you work out, you find out what your strengths and weaknesses are. And so I guess my
upper... Everything was my weakness.
Well, I mean, I have no stay in my legs. I just have no endurance. Anything that has to do with legs or balancing is just bad. And then upper body is okay. So it's like this little Weeble thing where it's like a reverse Weeble.
I loved Weebles.
Because Weebles, the legs, the bottom part was the strong part, and the top part would whip it all around.
Weebles don't have legs, baby.
Well, but I mean, they're...
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall
but
down.
But they're equivalent of legs.
Are they?
Whatever.
It's
in
just
the
like
Weeble
a butt.
World, well, yeah, in the Weeble world, butts are legs.
Okay.
Anyway,
it was the first day that I worked out, and it was exhausting, but I had nothing to do the rest of the day, and I thought to myself, yay, I'm going to exercise, and then... recover all day.
Right.
And I needed to because I was so tired. But then the phone rang.
Oh, God.
First of all, I was so happy to just have a day of doing absolutely nothing except having to work out.
Right.
And then the phone rang and a friend of mine was like, I need you to come over. You have to help me with an audition. You need to record me and tape me and do the other voice and blah, blah, you know, be the other actor. And I was like, oh, God, I'm so tired. I don't want to do it. But I'm a good friend, and I always help her.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that every time I help her, she always, like, does really well. And I want her to do really well. And even though I'm exhausted, I'm a good friend. So I went over to her house, and I helped her. And then I was like, okay, I'm a good friend. That was nice. I'm going to go home and just chill.
Right.
And then the phone rang. And it was someone like, hey, you're going to be on that 6 o'clock Zoom, aren't you? And I was like, oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Oy.
So then I had to do that. And just the one day that I thought I could just do nothing.
Unplug.
Just the one day I was just going to chill. It was like somebody kept knocking on my door like, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this.
It's weird because on days when you have a bunch of gigantic monumental tasks, you can almost just set your mind to, well, I know I have to do these.
Yeah, you can power through.
Exactly. They don't seem as bad. On a day where you've put your mind into the mode of,
I'm going to chill.
I don't have anything to do today. And then suddenly, literally, if someone just like, hey, can you just answer? I sent you an email. Can
you're like, no.
This is the hardest thing. Like, because
it can be the easiest thing. Literally going to my friend's house and helping her was not difficult.
Yeah.
And any other day, had we planned it in advance, I would have been like, be there in 2 seconds.
Right.
No big deal.
Yeah.
But it was just on a day when
in your mind, but I'm shutting down today. Why do I have to do this now? And it seems like, I hate that term, like the universe just has it in whatever.
No.
But there must be some kind of reversal of your ions or whatever the hell electricity you give off where when you do switch to chill, it must send some kind of signal up because that's when all of the tiniest, and the people that approach you are always like, it's the easiest thing. I just need you to do one thing. I'm like, I can't.
Actually. You know what's really interesting?
What?
All the people who work super hard, like one of my friends is a singer and she goes on tour. And so it's insane schedule, traveling, this, that, and the other, singing, being tired, all the stuff. And then she's like, I'm just going to come home. And the minute she comes home, she gets sick. And it's
I do too. That's exactly what happens
to me. It happens
to
everybody.
Because you get stage health when you're out there and your body's like, oh, we'll wait on this.
And then your body is like, hey, you just worked really hard. I'm going to make you sick so you can slow down.
So you will lie the hell down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens.
It does. And, you know, I've had stage health kick in and it's hard, I guess, because when you come back and even the most mundane tasks, you're like, you can't ask me to do this right now. I just need to sit and stare at a wall.
But I'm one of those people who will drop everything to help a friend. Always.
But you weren't happy about it.
Well, today
and you came home not happy about it.
Well, I was very tired, but I wanted to help her, and I did do a good job, and I didn't come home not happy about it. I came home exhausted and just wanted to rest, and then the phone rang again, like, we need you, we need you, we need you. Yeah.
I wonder what the speaking of Zooms, because I had to do a couple of quick Zooms today, and I'm going out of my way to never have my, trying to not have my face on the screen and pick speaker view. Like, you're only looking at who's speaking, but even then they'll keep your little face in a box. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, and I don't know anything about psychology, but I feel like looking at your own face while you're talking has long-term bad mental effects. And I don't know what those are yet.
Well, I do have to say, you and I have been on Zooms together, and I have to constantly remind you, dude, you're on camera. Like, get that. You have resting grump face.
Yeah, I don't want to be there.
Some people have resting bitch face, and you have resting grump face.
I have resting, I'm not into this face.
No, it's just the way your face is shaped. You've got that, like, bulldog face where you kind of, like, just have a perpetual frown. And unless you are conscious about it, I'm like, hey, baby, turn that frown upside down, because people are looking at you and you look like you're miserable.
Yeah, that was a problem that I always had when I was a touring comedian. They would make you go do morning radio, and you want to help the show and you want to promote yourself. But a lot of these morning radio shows, it was this forced fun atmosphere where it's the 6 a.m. party. It's like, it's 6 a.m. on a Thursday. We're not having a party right now. This is grim and awful. And I guarantee you, your listeners, a lot of the commuters, would actually appreciate hearing someone else who's kind of miserable and they could share their misery with, rather than...
No, they're up early also, and they're on the road and they're getting ready for their job, and they need to hear someone who's going to...
I remember growing up, there was a duo in Washington, D.C. called Don and Mike, and they, when I would go to school... They were very openly, they weren't down all the time, but the days they were in a bad mood, they would just be in a bad mood on their show. And it was so refreshing to go, oh, someone else is having a bad, because in my mind, like, they're on the radio, that's the easiest job, I gotta go to school, I hate this. And you'd hear them go, the manager wants us to do this stupid, I don't want to go out there this weekend, this dumb river raft thing on the Potomac, I was like, oh, that's right, everyone has bad days. It actually put me in a better mood.
Knowing that other people were miserable.
Yes.
So, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Okay. So, yeah, don't begrudge
me
my grump
face. I know you were listening to morning radio or whatever, you were doing morning radio, and this just made me think of something. The other day I sent you the voicemail that I got from a friend of ours. I got a voicemail from two friends of ours,
right.
And they called and they said, it was basically like, Meredith, I am driving down to this random place that's really far away, and my husband and I were like, oh God, you know, Patton and Meredith have a podcast. We're friends of theirs. We should probably listen to their podcast. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I so didn't want to listen to it, but we had to. And oh my God, it's so good. Oh, I love it. And she was so excited and so enthusiastic. Aww. And I thought, wow, that's so nice. Because it was really genuine. It was like, clearly, like, I so didn't want to do this. I was preparing for this to be like just every other boring podcast. But you guys made us super happy. And so she made me super happy, but then I was thinking, that happens all the time. Oh, there are things that you have to do that you do not want to do, but you do them because they're your friends. And you're hoping, desperately praying, that whatever it is that you're doing and supporting them, like if you're going to their play, if you're going to their movie, if you're going to go see them sing or whatever you're going to go do for them, where they're like, hey man, you got to hear my new band. And you're like, oh, it's going to suck. Right. But you pray that it's good.
Yeah.
Because afterward, what do you say?
Well,
are the things you might say? Like, oh my God, your son's amazing on the drums. I didn't know he could do that. Or, wow, he is strong. He can really hit those drums.
Are those sticks heavy? Because I remember when I was starting off as a comedian for the first like 4 years, any friends or family who wanted to come see me, I would just flat out go, I don't want you watching my years of development. Leave me alone to do this.
And I Why didn't you want them there?
Because I want to just make mistakes in a vacuum without any...
someone judging you.
And I don't know that without any indication of my past or who I was. I am trying to recreate myself to be whoever the heck I want to be. I don't need any traces of my life there while I'm up on stage.
Well,
I've had friends who's... I had a friend who was starting off, and his mom would go to all his shows and bring her friends. And I had to tell her, stop, you are preventing him being a comedian, because there's his mom. There's all her friends. You're coming up to talk to him after the show. He's trying to make new, leave him alone. Let him go do what he needs to do.
Well, I think it's up to the person, but that's how I felt too. When I was a little girl and I had to have my mom on set with me because I was underage. Mm-hmm. She would be there and, you know, you can either be like right where the scene is happening and watch it being filmed, or you can sit elsewhere. And there were scenes where I felt like if I caught glimpse of my mom out the corner of my eye, that it would just go, oh, hey, Meredith Salinger, that's you. And not, hey,
exactly,
hey, girl in that character, be yeah. that. So I had to say to my mom, Mom, I love you so much. You cannot, I can't see yeah. you. You need to go off. And she, of yeah. course, understood.
I don't need my friends from work there. Just don't need
Wow, that sounded really fucked up.
Well, I was,
I mean, do not need my friends.
No, I mean, it was like, I was working at a law firm. I don't need the guys that I go get drunk at Bennigan's with on the weekends to come on a Tuesday night. And
what, you know, are you some random amateur stand-up comedian who works at Bennigan's with your accountant friends? What no. is this scenario?
No. I'm saying on the weekends, they would go out to, let's go to Bennigan's, get hammered.
And then
but
go
on
visit
a Tuesday,
Patton.
I'm just like, I don't want to, the guys were sitting there. I just wanted my own thing. Just let me have my own thing.
Yeah. You always want your own thing.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, Meredith, I realize it's dinner time and it would be nice for me to sit with you, but I've got my own thing. Bye.
No, I mean creatively.
I'm taking it to another level, another place here, baby.
I don't do that all the time.
You don't do it all the time, but you definitely are like, you're going to eat dinner? My cue to leave. Bye. And I'm like, hi, can we just sit? And, you know, people are going to really think that you and I have a terrible relationship because it's like we don't talk to each other unless we're texting. We never get together unless it's the podcast, and you don't eat with your wife. What is wrong with you?
You are picking some very extreme examples and making them sound universal. And they're not. Let's sell some products and we'll be back. And we're back. Okay, here is a little clipping from history that I found earlier this year online. It's a little grim, but it's also grimly funny in a karmic kind of way. So in World War II, Russians, who were fighting alongside us against the Germans, trained dogs to run under tanks with time bombs on their backs.
Oh, no.
Anti-tank dogs.
Anti-tank dogs.
Anti-tank dogs. However, it's grim, but it's funny. They train dogs with time bombs on their backs to run under tanks, right? Now, can you anticipate what the flaw to this plan might be once they tried it on the battlefield?
I can't. Wait, under tanks. Well, the tanks are moving.
They train them to run under tanks and blow the tanks with time bombs.
Can't you not run under a tank because it has those kind of wheels that
aren't
wheels?
Well, back then there were some that were like
higher
were a little
up.
High up. Yeah.
Well, they'd get crushed under the moving tank.
Well, they would get under. No. They had room to get under the tank.
Oh, I don't know.
Here was the problem. The Russians trained the dogs on Russian tanks. So when they set the dogs free on the battlefield, the dogs turned around and started blowing up the Russian tanks.
Amazing.
Instead of the German tanks.
Brilliant.
Which now.
Oh, no, not good back then.
Well,
bad back then, but good now.
Here's the thing. That I'm so conflicted by this story because, yes, the dogs, I guess, got karma because it's a cruel thing to do to a dog.
However, my God, and then they'd blow up.
Well, that's the, yes, they
would. That's horrible.
It's horrible. And so, yeah, but part of you is going, well, but the dog, but these.
No, nothing. No part of me is doing anything. I'm devastated.
Part of me was, again, karmically happy that, well, these cruel people that were training dogs to blow up tanks, they're watching their tanks getting blown up. The other bad thing is, it's benefiting the Nazis because these dogs are supposed to be blowing up Nazi tanks and they're blowing up the Russian tanks.
Right, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
So everything was bad. Dogs died and our allies at the time died.
Yes, exactly.
Not a good thing.
Not a good thing. I mean, I guess there's karma in that.
Well, where's the karma?
The karma is that the people that must have done that training program were either punished or executed.
Well, you don't know that. Maybe they got no karma. How do you know? There's no.
I'm hoping that they did.
But you just said it like as if, well, there's karma in that. You didn't. There was what?
Well, maybe that because
but
then
you,
they
now
had
it's
the,
all hypothetical. I'm going to fight you, man.
It is hypothetical.
Right.
But you know what?
What? Okay, let's make a fantasy about it. How about this?
What? Okay.
All those Russians that did mm-hmm. that
right.
were alive today, are still, were alive. I don't know what I'm saying.
They're somewhere.
Where was Chernobyl?
Oh, God. That was in Russia. That right. was during the so early 80s.
Those, right. So the guys who trained those dogs ended up being working. You know, they're good at training
or
people.
Just living in Chernobyl.
They were working at the Chernobyl site, and they got Chernobyled.
They got Chernobyled.
What are you going to call it? They got radiated to a pulp. I don't
wow.
know. They
that,
got,
that would have been so cool if during
their skin
during,
melted off like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
If during Chernobyl, Jared Harris,
you got Chernobyled.
You've been Chernobyled. Yeah, that would have been great. Yeah. So, but again, it's one of those. I just even if the animal dies, if someone is being cruel to an animal and somehow that backfires on them and costs them somehow, it, like that,
yes,
I just cannot
that's horrible.
Stand anyone being cruel to an animal. It drives me insane.
Me too. And I can't take it. How is it that we are okay when something terrible happens to a person, but not okay when something happens to an animal? Because they're innocent. That's why. Because they're innocent. They've
well,
done
they're
nothing
truly
wrong.
Is. I mean, and, also,
and they're just full of love.
Also, because people have legs and opposable thumbs, like they still have a form of agency. A lot of times animals don't have agency.
Well, they don't.
They're trapped or they're, you know, so yeah, you don't want, that would be the, that would be like if Pixar really went dark and they did the,
no.
the Russian time bomb
no.
dog movie.
And called Balto.
Balto,
Russian.
Yeah. And then they, and then it's like these, who would be the voice
of Balto?
Of, the time, of Balto, of, well, there of the, was a movie called Balto. This guy, he would call, be called Chabornik. Chabornik the bomb dog.
Well, it would be Jared Harris.
It would be Jared Harris or it would be Adam Driver. He'd be the voice of the dog who realizes
oh,
that
yeah.
I got to find a way to get this time bomb off of me. And he's, what's he, is he in love with another dog who spurns him because she's a faster runner? So she's more valuable as an anti-tank
dog. You guys,
dog,
this is how movies
to,
get made.
This is how
you
they
just,
happen.
That's how they happen. You just sit there and you just riff on ridiculous things. And you're like, what if mm-hmm. there was a girl and she's from the ocean and she's a mermaid, and then she comes out, and she can have legs on land.
Yeah.
She walks by Madison Avenue. She calls herself Madison, because she's like, what should my name be? Madison. It's a good thing you weren't on 149th Street. You guys know that line?
You know, yeah, yes. You know the story behind that script was, right after Stripes got made, PJ Souls was walking across the, I think the Warner lot, and this young PA came up to her, and he goes, I've just spent all my money to option this script. And I'd love it if you and Bill Murray starred in it. You know, you'd be great in this movie. So she went to lunch with Bill Murray at the Hamburger Hamlet in Burbank and gave him this comedy script. And this was when he wanted to move into dramas. He very famously did, the only reason he did Ghostbusters was so that they would finance The Razor's Edge, his drama movie.
Oh.
And he took the script and just like threw it on the floor and said, I don't do comedies anymore, PJ.
Okay.
And that script.
There's no way in hell that PJ, his friend, handed in a script and he threw it on the ground.
That's the story that she
happen.
Told. And the script that he threw on the ground was Splash. And that was Brian Grazer's first project. He had optioned that script. He was working like on the lot and he tried to get her to do it with Bill Murray.
Would have been different.
Would have been different. I love Tom Hanks, but Roger Ebert wrote an amazing review of Splash, and I think he agreed. I think Pauline Kael said this. Splash would have been an even better movie if the person who fell in love with Daryl Hannah was John Candy and Tom Hanks was the goofy brother. But it's this big, bulky, awkward landlubber, John Candy in love with the mermaid. That would have made it an even more amazing film.
I disagree.
I think that would have been incredible.
It would have been a different way to go.
Because, God, John Candy is so good in that movie.
Yeah, but so was Tom
He's
Hanks.
So good in that
Everybody's
movie.
Good in that movie. Especially Ugh. Eugene Levy.
Oh, what a week I'm having. God,
I love him
so
much.
He's so good. I love him. Yeah. So anyway, that's a... Oh, my God, you know what that was? It was Patton's Rabbit Hole.
That was Patton's Rabbit Hole. Patton's Rabbit Hole.
I don't
know.
Need to sing it. They're going to do the sting.
I know, but I just feel like singing it. Patton's Rabbit Hole. I don't even think that's how I do sing it.
You go, and that was Patton's Rabbit Hole.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go, ugh.
Oh.
Because you're sick of it.
Well, let's hear it. And that is Patton's Rabbit Hole.
Well, just no. Cut all this part out. Just
no,
drop
no,
that
don't
in.
Don't cut that part. This is funny part. That was funny.
No, it's so
let's
meta.
Let's not argue about what's funny.
The snake is eating its own tail.
You're
at this
eating
point.
Your own tail. Hey, let's take a break and we'll come right back. guys, we're back. So something happened the other day that seemed innocuous at the time and then got real sinister. So I'm going to tell you what happened. the other day.
Yes, I'm listening.
Somebody rang our doorbell. Mm-hmm. And I opened the door.
Okay.
And it was this cute boy.
Right.
He's probably 23. Mm-hmm. And he was wearing like a professional shirt mm-hmm. with the name of a company.
A logo on it
from a company.
Right.
And he was holding an iPad. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, my name's Trent. And I do environmental exterminating.
Environmentally stuff. Ethical extermination.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And I said, can I have your card? And he's like, well, I don't have a card. I go, oh, do you have a brochure or something I could look at? And he's like, no, they haven't given us those yet. And I was like, And I was starting to get a little suspicious. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I think the viewers got that.
I know they did.
Yeah.
And our by the way, they're not viewers, boo. They're listeners.
Well, our listeners are. Well, but you know what? They're viewing us in their minds. It's theater of the mind, man. They see us. I know they see us.
They do. Anyway.
And they're very hip.
Because he had this iPad with like the information on the sure. iPad. Yeah. And I was like, well, since you don't have a brochure, can I mm-hmm. take a picture of your iPad? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, sure. Go ahead. And I took a picture of the iPad, but I also took a picture of him.
Smart.
Because I was like, this is
smart.
Suspicious.
There you go.
Right?
That's some De Niro and Ronan action
I'm
right there.
So,
I love
I'm
it.
I'm like a detective. Mm. Anyway, so I did that and thought nothing of it. We already have an exterminating company and whatever. The guy came by and I was like, well.
Thanks. I'll check your website
thanks,
out.
Thanks. I'll check your website. So whatever, I didn't because why should I? Because I already have a company and I don't need that.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you got the doorbell ring mm-hmm. and you looked at the security camera and you're like, there's two dudes outside. They say they know you.
And well, I buzzed them in because they seemed innocuous enough. It was, again, very professional, I guess.
One guy looked like a clean cut Clark Kent dude. And the other guy looked like a surfer dude.
Looked like a total Hesher.
Yeah, he had long, not that, you know, but he would look like full-blown smoker dude, like
and
a
also,
full
his,
stoner.
His demeanor was very...
And he was on a hoverboard. He was
wasn't
on, one
on
of the,
a hoverboard.
It was on one of those roly-poly thingies.
Right.
Yes, it's a, I don't know what it's called, but it is one of those things. It's like a Segway with no right. handle.
And his vibe was very...
Sketchy.
Hey, they go, we talked to your wife, and she said she was really interested in this service. I'm like, well, I mean, I said... She'll check out the website. I don't know anything about
anyway,
this.
Anyway, you sent them along their way.
Right, yeah.
And then the next day, again, he rang our flipping doorbell. And I'm thinking, why is he coming three times in a row?
Yeah, he left the info.
He
you're done.
But he didn't actually leave the info because there was no info to leave. And there was no calling card or whatever you call this, business card. And there was no truck and there was no nothing. And he's like, your neighbor next door uses us. Okay. So then I'm minding my own beeswax as I do.
As you completely never do.
Yeah. I completely don't. And I'm sure everybody across the United States of America has heard of the app Nextdoor.
Or is on a version of. There's a lot of different versions.
Oh, well,
but that's
anyway.
Same, yeah, community.
It's a community app.
Bulletin
that,
board thing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I have a lost cat. Have you seen it? Or, hey, there's some suspicious activity. Have you noticed? And they give you alerts. So I only signed up for the lost cat thing and for the suspicious activity thing.
Right.
Like you can sign up for like, hey, does anyone have a mountain bike I can borrow?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't do that.
Right.
And on the Nextdoor thing, it was like, hey, suspicious activity. There's a guy keeps knocking on my door about, and I was like, oh my God, that's the guy. That's who he's talking about. Uh-huh. And then I looked and there's like 25 comments under it from other people going, yeah, that dude came to my house. Oh, he looked really sketchy. He was on a hoverboard. And everybody is writing. No. And they're like, don't let this guy in. He seems super sketchy. And then one person was like, I let him in. I didn't let him in, but I let him, you know, through the gate and was talking to him. And he kept going on and on about how my neighbor uses him. And this is like not our same street. This is like
right.
a whole other area.
Yeah.
But they described the guy. And so I was like, I think I need to call the Better Business Bureau. No, so I looked online and I looked up the company and there's a website. And I was like, there's a website. And then Alice was like, I can make a website in 2 seconds.
Anyone can make a website.
Anyone can make a website to look legit.
Right.
So I called the number on the website and I was going to, but there was no answer.
Right.
So I hung up. Mm-hmm. And then today,
mm-hmm. you called
our phone rang.
Oh.
Our phone rang.
Mm-hmm.
And I answered it and it was like, hi, I'm calling from this company.
Mm-hmm.
You called me. And I was like, I didn't leave a freaking message. How does she know?
And how does she know your number?
Well, clearly the number came up on someone dialed that number and she could see who called.
Okay.
So now I'm like,
okay, never mind. Yeah.
Right? Caller ID.
Yeah.
So she called me and I was like, hey, lady, you're sending these randos out. It's all over next door. Everyone's suspicious of them. It's pretty terrible. Why don't they have business cards? And why don't they have a brochure? And why is there no truck? And I'm so sorry you had that bad experience. And I was like, yeah, you better tell those. They're creeping out everybody.
And so I heard that part of the conversation. Like, you're creeping everyone out.
You're creeping everyone out, lady.
Yeah.
Whatever. I was like, anyway, just take me off. Do not call me again. I'm not going to use your service.
Right, right.
And then I was like, this is real suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So then I did look it up on the Better Business Bureau.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, there's like 15,000 complaints against this company. And they like settled. I don't know what, but it's a full-blown scam.
Well, here's... I'm not defending the company.
And I have the guy's picture and I did put it up because everybody's like... You know, someone stole packages off someone's
thing
the other day. And they're like, this guy stole packages. Look for him.
Right.
You know, and so I put his little picture up and yeah.
Here's I'm not defending the company. I am saying if they truly are.
A real company.
And not only a real company, but think of the kind of company that they say they are.
They say they're environmental.
Well, they say that they are an environmentally ethical pest control company, which to me equals hippies. So
no, that's not true.
But what I'm saying is,
no,
if
they have
that very green earth mentality,
then
they're probably like, we don't need to make business cards because that just ruins trees.
Disagree.
We don't need. So in a weird way, because they're trying to be so down to earth.
Nope.
I'm not saying this is the case. I'm saying this could be. This is on the. If you're trying to think the best of everyone, they are ruining what could be a legitimate business by being so sketchy and spacey. And by the way, when you do go to someone and they go, may I have your business card? And you're like, well, we don't really, like, don't have this weird spacey demeanor.
First of all, the guy that came, the Clark Kent looking dude, was mm-hmm. not weird or spacey. The other dude was.
Very spacey
and what
and
was
weird.
He doing? He wasn't holding any information.
No,
he was just skateboarding along with his friend. What was that about?
I don't know.
Anyway. It was an odd pairing and certainly a bit terrifying considering why did he come back like three times?
Three times, yeah.
Like,
well,
what?
Then you went right to, they're casing the place out.
Well, yes, but everybody else on next door was like, this dude's coming. They're definitely casing.
Right.
It looks like they're going up and knocking to see if anyone answers. They're definitely casing.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Here's the thing, though. The fact that you called them and then they called you and you made such a stink.
I made a stink to Carol.
But what I'm saying is if this is part of an organization that robs houses, then they're like, skip that one. They're busybodies. There'll always be someone there. It's not worth it.
Right.
They're waiting for people like, we rang them. No one answered.
This
they
is
don't
what
care,
I think.
You know?
I think it's a fake website and there's a number that you call
and
they never answer the number. They just collect the numbers to see if someone wants their business. And then they go, okay, let's call this number back. And they get their girlfriend to be like, hi, you called. And they're really nice. And you're like, listen, lady. Or you're like, hey, that sounds really great. When can I schedule an appointment? Because a lot of the things on the Better Business Bureau said that they scheduled appointments and they never showed up. Or that they scheduled and then they came, but they were like really weird and they wanted to collect payment. Listen, it's a freaking scam.
It's a scam. Yeah. Okay. Then it's a scam.
Anyway, the boy was very cute. He could get a better job. I don't know why he's scamming it up.
It's really weird. His friend is right his friend, however, is in the profession he should be in. He should be a sketchy scammer, dude. You found it, dude. You found your niche.
Yeah. That's his thing.
Go creep out homeowners.
Although it is those guys that look like they're perfectly put together that are the ones that are the scariest.
Mm-hmm. The Ted Bundys.
The Jeffrey Dahmers. They all look the same. It's always the white men who are the terrorists. It's horrible.
Yeah. All right.
That was my generalization for the day.
Well, let's do, before we say goodbye, can we leave you with some suggestions of ways to spend your time, things that are worth...
Patton Oswalt, I would love a recommendation from you. You are a very schooled person on film and literature, and any recommendation you might have for us to enjoy our evenings would be great.
Now it's time for Did You Get Our Picks?
We'll tell you what we like, what we really, really like.
Yeah, tell me what you like, what you really, really like.
Okay, first off, I'm going to recommend two films. One from last year. Can't believe I missed it. We just now saw it. Well, we saw it a couple weeks ago. A Danish film, Riders of Justice.
Oh my God, everybody out there, you must watch this movie. It is a recommendation that I too recommend.
It is directed by Anders Thomas Jensen. It stars Mads Mikkelsen, Le Chiffre, Hannibal Lecter himself. It is so fantastic.
It's so good. And it tricks you because it seems like it's going to be this revenge movie with action and everything.
Starts off like every Liam Neeson film you've ever seen.
But.
And then it takes turns, none of which, by the way, it's not taking turns just to take turns. They all are logical based on human behavior and the characters that they draw. And it is a fascinating film with a lot of action and violence,
yes,
but not in the way you think it's going to come.
No, and every character is so flushed out and interesting
God.
And intricate and odd and different and nothing you've seen before.
Yeah.
And it's like the most heartfelt friendship movie, but
oh my God, yeah.
It's such a good movie. Please, you guys, please go see it and then please tell us your thoughts about it and also recommend it to your friends because it's so interesting and cool.
Yeah, try to make it like a crazy viral hit. That would be nice because this director is...
We're not in it. We have nothing to do with it. It's just awesome.
It's so good. On the other end of that recommendation, currently on Shudder, is a film from the early 70s called Messiah of Evil.
Did I walk in on that when you were watching that?
I had you come in to watch. There's a scene set at a Ralph's in the early 70s where a woman... this actress who you might remember from the very opening scene of The Longest Yard, she gets into a fight with Burt Reynolds before he goes to jail. Gorgeous she literally looked like the epitome of like hot 70s
You know
woman.
What's interesting? On our last podcast, we talked about the Aspen commercial with these two people
yes.
that looked like beautiful 1970s people.
Oh.
And this woman is one of those people. Just gorgeous 70s.
God.
Cool.
So good. It's called Messiah of Evil, shot in the early 70s, mostly shot out in Malibu. So you get to see a lot.
I was there. I was born in Malibu
you
in 1970. I was there.
And a couple of the houses that are used in the film, I think, are near where you grow up. They're right in the Malibu community.
Yeah, man.
So they're there. And the movie was directed and written by Gloria Katz and Willard Huyck, H-U-Y-C-K. This couple later went on to direct Howard the Duck for
Howard
George
the
Lucas.
Duck.
Yeah, so that, but their start was this film, Messiah of Evil. It's so good and it is
so
gorgeous.
Wait a second.
What?
You thought the movie was so good?
I thought it's fantastic.
What?
It's really creepy. It reminds me if any
it's
other-
It's scary, guys. If you like scary movies, it's creepy scary.
Yeah, it's not like
and
jump out
also,
of your seats. It's unsettling,
but
the whole thing.
It is unsettling, but is it that good?
Yes.
It just looks cool because it's from the 70s.
There are sequences that are so gorgeously lit and shot.
I
especially a scene, there's a zombie attack in a movie theater.
Well, you've ruined it for everybody.
No, because they don't set it out the way you think it's going to happen. It's so creepy.
Okay, I only saw a portion of this movie.
You saw the zombie attack in Ralph's.
Yeah, that was cool. That was well done. And then back in the like lounging, you know, when the 70s guy's lounging
fantastic.
With his cool white pants but no shirt. It's very 70s. It looks like a 70s porn, really.
I love it.
I don't watch porn, but in the it looks like it could have been a 70s porn.
If you like movies like Carnival of Souls and Let's Scare Jessica to Death, these moody, creepy kind of ghost story kind of things, you will love Messiah of Evil. I can't believe I haven't seen it till now.
Okay, well, I wouldn't recommend it, like, go see it, but you would.
I will. I would, and I am.
Okay, I recommend the other one as well with you, but you know what else I recommend?
What?
Currently, there is a show
called
White Lotus.
The White Lotus.
Directed by and created by Mike White, who's brilliant, who did School of Rock and Enlightenment and a million other things. He's probably...
Enlightened.
Enlightened.
He's been great from the get-go. His first movie, Chuck and Buck, is fantastic.
He's one of the most interesting, creative, fabulous, unique voices in filmmaking. And this is a wonderful, odd, and strange, just like everything he does, TV show. And what is it on?
It's on HBO Max, Sunday night. It's only six episodes.
It's
only six, that's it.
So that, well, how many do we have left?
We have two more left.
Oh, I hate that. I don't like that.
My only criticism of the show, actually, it's not my criticism of the show, it's my criticism of reality. You get to see god-awful rich people in torment and kind of getting their comeuppance, and it's fun to watch, and then you have to go back to real life where that never happens. The kind of people that these people are in real life never get this kind of comeuppance, never have this kind of torment, and
oh my God,
they really need to be.
You and I are very much on different wavelengths right now. Because I don't think that these are like crazy rich people who deserve to have some sort of comeuppance.
Some of them do.
No, I just think that they're people going through what they're going through, and everyone has their own experience, and it has nothing to do
The dude in the young married couple.
Okay, fine, you're right.
He's horrible.
Okay, stop. I agree with you.
Horrible.
I've changed my mind. You're right.
And the two teenage daughters are horrible.
They're the most hideous.
Horrible.
Okay, I love you so
much.
And
by the way, brilliant actors.
Everybody's amazing in the show.
Brilliant actors, because they're so...
Wow, isn't it nice to have someone who disagrees with you and then totally agrees with you 2 seconds later?
Yeah, it feels good. Okay, music-wise, I know that I've talked about this group before, not on the show, but my planet currently orbits the sun called Bleached. There's a band called Bleached. Their album that came out, I believe, 2 years ago, Don't You Think You've Had Enough. They have two other albums.
Why do you like it?
It's the catchiest, poppiest, kind of early. It's everything. It's kind of new wave. I played you some of their stuff when we were driving Alice to camp. And you were like, oh, I kind of like this stuff.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Very,
like
very catchy. It's two sisters.
It felt kind of 90s.
Yeah, 90s. But then they'll suddenly have like these little, like a little new wave sting, and then a kind of a disco sting, and then like a grunge sting. It's everything they do, in my opinion, is fantastic. And the lead singer songwriter Jennifer Clavin is one of the best songwriters going right now. Get anything by the band Bleached. I'm a fan. So.
I mean, if you're going to do a musical recommendation, then I feel like I want to do a musical recommendation.
Please go ahead.
You guys, are you listening to our podcast? Are you listening to the theme to our podcast is by one of my favorite musicians who happens to be a friend of mine and an incredible songwriter, Kobe Brown, and he has a few records and they're amazing.
We have talked him up on this show before and we're talking him up now. He's great.
Yep.
Look for Kobe Brown stuff. It's all good and catchy and it will make you happy.
Yeah.
Hey, do you read comic books? Because I have a really good recommendation for two new comics. I always take chances on new writers, new artists, and the two that I'm really digging, there's a horror comic called Bunny Mask by Paul Tobin, illustrated by Andrea Muti. Andrea Muti did Maniac of New York. I'm not going to tell you what the plot is. It's so creepy. I'm going to leave it at that. Beautifully done. Bunny Mask. The other one, The Six Sidekicks of Trigger Keaton by Kyle Starks and Chris Schweitzer. A hilarious murder mystery comic about a washed up and hated, universally hated TV star from the 70s and 80s who dies, and the six now grown-up child actors who played his various sidekicks in movies and TV shows, all of whom's career he ruined, are trying to figure out who killed him. Everyone wanted to kill this guy, so it's this weird mystery. But
I want to read that last
tied
one.
Up. It's so funny.
The last one sounds good.
It's fantastic. And then, hey, I've got a recommendation for a book. You guys still read books, don't you?
I do.
I just finished a collection of short stories by the late, great Dennis Johnson. It's called Largesse of the Sea Maiden, including his last short story he ever wrote called Triumph Over the Grave, with one of the best last lines I've ever read in a short story. It's up there with James Joyce's The Dead in terms of you finish a story and the last line punches you in the chest. Mwah! Largesse of the Sea Maiden. Get it. Dennis Johnson.
You are very intelligent and know so much about everything. And
I just read a lot of stuff.
I'm just saying, I trust your recommendations.
Thank you.
Except for the scary ones.
Well, you should. If you don't like scary stuff, then don't read Bunny Mask because it's really scary.
Well, I like the idea of wearing a bunny mask.
Not the way they do it in this comic.
I like putting bunny ears on and a little nose and some whiskers and hopping around being cute.
Yeah, maybe nope. Don't read this book. All right.
Ladies
guys,
and gentlemen.
Thank you.
This was a pleasant sit down.
Yeah. We will see you next week. We'll have more stories, more texts, and more recommendations.
And by the way, you guys did some really cool voicemails for us on our SpeakPipe that we really liked and that we played in our last few episodes. And we would love it if you would keep leaving us messages so we can address all the interesting things you have to say.
Keep those cards and letters coming. We love to hear from you.
All right, then. Have a lovely day, mate.
Good day, Governor.
Good day, Governor.
This podcast is a production of Meredith Salinger and Patton Oswalt.
In association with Starburns Audio. Executive producers are Cliff Dorfman and Jason Smith. And if you have questions for us, send them to...
Hey, did you get my text? At gmail.com. And don't forget, subscribe to this podcast. It's free, and it helps us get to keep making the show.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.